NBA Strayer. How you gone? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Tuesday, Jan 30, and holy shit, NBA got exploded. That's right, man. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, The Brooklyn Game, and one half of the Durongai's NBA podcast. I'm currently here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, reporting from the front lines of the NBA, baby. For your favorite daily NBA podcast. That's right. We're here making sure you know all about what's going cooking in the NBA. Who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. Who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today? And geez, I don't know, did something big happen yesterday in the NBA? Holy crap. So we're going to massive NBA night to wrap. We got a superstar that got traded. We got a whole mess of stuff about the Blake Griffin Detroit trade. I'll tell you that much. There's also the usual dumbassery, the old yeah nahs. It's an all Blake edition. We have the bet on Lonzo Ball. We have the unpopular opinion of the day. And as we do every day, we'll check in on every Australian NBA player, see what they're up to, see how they're going. And it's Tuesday, so we've got our Shane Heal, shoot your shot, random guy, going off crazy hardcore of the week, Hall of Fame. Sure. And we have the Mango Matt Yang check-in, Mango! And we'll also finish up with a brand new Joe Ingles, HR manager. It's a late arriving question from someone who is new to Michigan. So, let's get bloody well to it, shall we? Let's go NBA Australia right after this message.
Oh, kia ora, Brews. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better, because it is NBA Australia. You know it. And we've also got the Daily Whip Around. That's how we start every day. Shit, yeah. So let's do it, shall we? What do you reckon? Blake Griffin got traded to Detroit. Shocking Woj bomb. Everyone's like, oh my god, I can't. Shit, I don't even know the fuck Blake Griffin's doing getting traded from fucking LA to Detroit. That sounds fucked, and I'm a fucking moron. That's amazing, man. Twitter exploded. Woj just fucked everybody's Monday up, and it was awesome. So the trade was the Clippers trade Blake Griffin, Bryce Johnson, and Willie Reed, sure, to Detroit, Rock City, for Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic. That's right, Boban gonna scare the villagers in LA now, as well as a first and second round draft pick. So the protections on that draft pick for Detroit are, in 2018, it's protected 1-4, in 18, 19, and 20, 1-4. And it's unprotected if it doesn't convey until 2021. But come on, what are we doing? So there you go, man. The face of the Clippers franchise goes, their number one pick from 2009. The best Clipper ever. They convinced him to stay. Holy shit. With a chorus, a massive big choir singing. And they retired his jersey. They mock retired his jersey. Sent it to the rafters saying, Clipper, lifelong Clipper, Blake Griffin. Holy shit, man. That's just... It's harsh. It's pretty fucking harsh, isn't it? Lifelong Clipper, number 32, Blake Griffin. Straight up brutal. Not anymore. Clippers go, oh, wait. We're going to pay you $170 million for the next 5 years. Detroit can do that. What do you reckon? Kendall Jenner is now abandoned and left behind in Los Angeles. Blake is hanging out in Detroit, trying to start up their stand-up comedy scene. See how he goes. A couple of the chuckle huts down there. What do you reckon, Blake?
What do you reckon?
I reckon that'll be good. So we'll have more thoughts on this in Yeah Nah. It's an all Blake edition. So let's get, like, first off the top, Blake Griffin to Detroit. It's a fucking bananas massive trade. Especially after everyone's like, oh, it's going to be a really quiet, like, trade deadline. There's just not much chatter, you know. I don't know if there's going to be much. Get the fuck out of here. Shit always goes bananas, and it did. So you go, Blake is a Piston. Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley are Clippers. We'll bust down every single aspect of this in the NR. So let's get to the game wrap-ups from last night, because there was actually games that also happened. What do you reckon? So let's do it. So Hornets go into Indy and they lose. Indy win 105-96. They bring it home with a 22-12 run to end it. Lance make him dance. Was doing all kinds of crazy whack shit, which was funny as hell. Yeah, 10 points on 12 shots as well. Classic Lance. El Clasico. Kemba had 23, Dwight had 22 and 11, Nick Batum with 22, and no one else for the Hornets managed to double figures. Meanwhile, for the Indianapolis Pacers, Miles Turner basically prompted the win. Came off the bench, had 22 points, looked good. Victor Oladipo had 25 points, 5 rebounds and 3 assists, and just like was the best player on the court. There you go. That's just how it goes. Good job, Indy. They were always going to do that because the Hornets are on a back-to-back. You know, Indy looking good. They had an extra day of rest. They're at home, so good call. We nailed that one yesterday. Oh, speaking of not nailing calls, though, how's about Minnesota going to Atlanta and losing 105 to 100? Minnesota, what the fuck was that? Ah, Jesus. I'll tell you what, it was fucking shit. That's what it was. God damn, man. So, that's right. The Minnesota Timberwolves, the 32 and 21 Minnesota Timberwolves lose to the now 15 and 35 Atlanta Hawks. Gross. Jeff Teague had an absolute fucking shocker. Probably one of the worst games you'll ever see. He had 2 points on 12 shots. Fucked up about 4 different times at the end of this game too. He had 2 turnovers, a blown inbounds pass that he didn't get off in 5 seconds when they still had a chance to win this. They're down by 1. He can't inbound the fucking ball. He also is on a breakaway. Clear layup. Throws it up off the glass instead of dunking it because he's not the most athletic, is Jeff Teague. And is blocked from behind by motherfucking Bazgaze. Basically, Jeff Teague cost them this game. What are you fucking doing, Jeffo? Meanwhile, Karl Anthony Towns had 15 points, 18 rebounds. Only took 8 shots, though. Jimmy Butler had 24. Basically tried to carry them home and couldn't quite get there. So 24 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists for Jimmy Butler. Bazgaze for the Hawks, 22 points, 18 points, 11 assists for German Rondo, Dennis Schröder over there, who also got cleaned up by Jimmy Butler late in this, which was very fun to see, because fuck that guy. John Collins, tall drinking, tall glass, he had 8 and 11. So Hawks just wanted this one, man. Like, it was weird. Like, we've seen them all year just give up and go, ah, fuck it, whatever. And this one, they're just like rested. They're just like, all right, fuck it, we're going to win this. Our crowd is hype. We're wearing our shitty jerseys. And bang, there you go, Hawks win. How about Philly at Bucks? Oh, Australian on Australian violence. Fucking A, Bucks win 107 to Philly, 95. But we had Big Ben Simmons, Big Simo, versus Delian Thon. Not bad. Oh, of course, Greek Freak was over there too. Because Greek Freak also had just a lazy 31 points, 18 rebounds, and 6 assists. You know, that's pretty good. Pretty good. But you know who brought us home? It's our Lord and Savior, Matthew Dellavedova. Dellavedova, 10 points. Scored all 10 of them in the fourth to lead the old Milwaukee there to the win. Not bad. So Joel Embiid set this one out. It was on a back-to-back for the old Sixers. No good, but at the same time, Eric Bledsoe came out after 3 minutes for the Bucks, which is why Dele played 24 minutes. Bledsoe had a sore left ankle, couldn't quite go on it. For the Sixers, 19-9 for Dario the homie Saric. He pushed it a bit too hard, though. Without Embiid there, he felt like he could do a bit more, and he's just not quite that good. So, I don't know. Just tried a little bit too much, and it all sort of fell apart. Big Simo couldn't quite penetrate against Milwaukee like he did against the Thunder. He had 16, 6, and 5. Talk about the Australian player watch. Sixers, though, you know what sunk them? They went 2 of 26 from 3. That's 7.7%. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, not bad, though. Not bad. Good job by the Bucks. Bucks win by double digits for the third game in a row. It's the first time they've had a streak like that since March last year. First time they've also kept their opponents to under 100 points 3 straight times since March last year. Not bad. And you know what? Joe Prunty, fucking unbeaten as Milwaukee's coach. So good job, Joe. You're out there smashing. But man, Sixers, no JJ Redick, no Joel Embiid. They go 2 of 26 from 3. That's gross, isn't it? All right, Suns go to Memphis and lose hardcore without Devin Booker. So no Booker, no chance for the Suns. Booker's got like a weird side contusion, bit of a rough one. Their rookie though, Josh Jackson at 28, not bad. TJ Warren with 24 TJ Warren points, which are the same as normal points, but they're somehow worse. Bit emptier. Marc Gasol bitched and moaned his way to 12 and 10 with 3 blocks. And Tyreek came off the bench, he had 27 points. Very, very good, Tyreek. Tyreek, build up that trade value. Evans is his official name at the moment. And how's Wayne O'Seldon starting for the Grizz? 17 and 6, not bad. Otherwise, fuck this game. All right, come on, heat it, Mavs. 2006 and 2011 NBA Finals rematch, baby. This was the Miami Vice City uniforms again. God damn, they are so good. Can we just change the Miami fucking uniforms to those Vice City ones? Shit, yeah, GTA, let's do it. Shame the Dallas ones were fucking horrible, though. Why are you so lazy when it comes to fucking uniform design, Dallas? Ugh, when was the last time they had good ones? Gross. Anyway, Hassan Whiteside, 25 points, 14 rebounds. Josh Richardson helps cover for Goran Dragic having a bit of a rough one with 13-3. Josh Richardson, though, 14 points. Kelly Olynyk smashed. Had a hammer in there, bro. The big Canadian. Not bad. Mavs, 20 for Harrison Barnes, 19 for Wes. Get me out of here, Matthews. How about Dennis Smith Jr., though? 14 points and 10 assists to go with 5 turnovers. But still, loving me some Dennis Smith Jr. Dirk Nowitzki had a rough one. 10 points and 11 shots against his old muckers, the Heat. Cost him one championship, but he got the other one on the way back round, didn't he? Good on you, Dirk. And then the final game of the night. Whoa, jeez. Check it out. Celtics. Just eke one out against the Nugs. Can you believe this? 111-110. What a fun-ass game it was, too. Kyrie basically tried his hardest to have a game-winning shot there. He had almost a buzzer beater, but it came off his hand very late. But they still win because of a Jaylen Brown corner three. And the in the third quarter, they were up 20 in this, the Celtics, but then gave up the most points in a quarter all season in the third quarter to the Nugs. Trey Lyles is out there smashing, and then the Celtics finally just get back up ahead. Even though Gary the Dartsman Harris is out there smashing, Jamal Murray smashing, Will the Thrill Barton is smashing. Celtics pull it back with a Horford three. Jamal Murray then goes in the 6-0 run by himself. Jaylen Brown hits a corner three to seal it. And Will Barton misses a shot at the end, which was just bonkers. Could have passed it ahead for a layup. You're only down one, mate. You don't have to shoot a three from like just a couple of steps inside a half court. Very weird. Very weird, Will Barton. But I mean, that's what you get when it's Will Barton. He's Will the Thrill. You can have the spills as well, mate. Will the Thrill spills. Jason Tatum had an amazing one. We'll talk about that in Better Than Lonzo Ball. Daniel Tice looks good. 11 points, pretty good. 8 points, 9 rebounds for Terry Rozier. And for the Nugs, the Joker had 22 points, 11 rebounds and 5 assists. Looking good. And Mason Plumlee came out of this hurting his leg in the fourth. He had 16-8 and 20 points for Trey Lyles as well. Not bad. He's just stringing together some good games to make the Donovan Mitchell heist, you know, not quite as terrifyingly horrifying as it ought to have been for the Nugs. All right, there you go. That was an awesome game, Celtics Nuggets, as well. So you should go back and check it on the old league pass. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Jeez, I want to say the Detroit front office. I'll get to that in the old yeah nahs. We could almost say Austin Rivers. Dude is going to be the only fucking Clipper left on this team, and he'll be coached by his dad. He's going to take like 40 fucking shots a game. That's right, Austin Rivers. He'll probably still take 40 shots and score about 26, but that's all right. Classic Kobe. But let's give the that's not a knife, that's a knife to Kyrie. Basically, the Celtics somehow were shitting the bed in this Nuggets game. Kyrie just held it all together down the fucking stretch. A couple of bananas layups. I don't know how half of these are fucking going on. There's like so much English on them, they could be my mate Drabs. It's fucking bananas, mate. Ends up with 27-6, but man, just the poise that he brings to that fucking team late. You're just like, eh, I think they've got this. So there you go, Kyrie. You deserve it. You got it. That's a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Kyrie just whipped out that big old dick and showed it to the Nugs and went, how you like that one? They went, oh, okay, shit. Oh, I don't think we should win this now. Anyway, who's old mate? No mates today. Who's got no mates today? How about LeVar Ball getting blackballed by NBA media all of a sudden? He called Steve Kerr the Milli Vanilli of coaching. He reckons the Warriors were put together by Mark Jackson and don't need a coach when they're that good. Fuck, man, this dude like coaches two games in Lithuania, yells some absolute bullshit about, go get it. Go, never last. Go get it. Just go get it. Go out there and ball. It's like, come on, mate. That's not coaching. X's and O's. Pay attention. So, old mate, LeVar Ball. Man, suddenly the old media are like, nah, maybe we've got some other shit to concentrate on for a second. There you go, mate. How's it feel? That is old mate's no mates today. And how about we get to this his son's segment? It's going to be better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. This is your daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. It is better than Lonzo Ball, and it is the aforementioned Jason Tatum. Woo, on you, Jason. Good job, mate, good job. Yeah, he smashed it against the Nuggets. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal and a block. That's good stuff. And he had some just tasty dunks. He's got this fucking amazing footwork that is just like, oh shit, I can see that you practice against Kyrie Irving like all the time. I had a couple of rough games lately too. 4 points against the Warriors and Lakers on this road trip. And sandwiched an 18 against the Clippers in between. That's how the rookie goes, though. But Tatum, out there smashing. This is his 8th time being better than Lonzo Ball in this here one. So, good job by you, Jason Tatum. You are today's better than Lonzo Ball. And also, Lonzo, hopefully he'll be back. What? They play tonight. I think he was back doing, like, non-contact practices. So, maybe by the end of this road trip. What do you reckon? All right, let's get to the, the all Blake Griffin edition right after this message. This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. Fuck oath you are. It's NBA Straya. You ready for some yeah nahs? It's all about Blake Griffin, this one. Oh, Jesus. So right off the bat, what do you reckon? Detroit won the Blake Griffin trade. Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah. Oh, I reckon. This is a hard one to judge, right? So I'm going to try to break this down for y'all. So I feel like Detroit get this because they got the best player in the deal, even though he's on a $171 million 5-year contract. And the Blake Griffin is held together with Band-Aids and Scotch tape. Thing is for Detroit, right? This makes them relevant, makes them interesting, especially in the East. People might want to go play there now. It gets them people in the doors to their horribly desolate new arena, which I definitely want to go to. It makes them interesting for the first time since they traded for Allen Iverson in 2009. They gave up a draft pick. Their draft record of late in that sort of whole, oh yeah, we're not that good, but we're going to be like somewhere around the 7 to 12 range has netted them Luke Kennard, Henry Ellenson, and fucking Stanley Johnson. So I'm not going to cry too much for Detroit and like losing a draft pick when you get Blake Griffin in return. Tobias Harris, I mean, come on, like, yeah, he's okay, but Blake Griffin's far better. And Avery Bradley's been shit this year. I don't know what to tell you. And all they did was give up Marcus Morris for him. So Detroit basically turn around, end up with Blake Griffin. I feel like they win this trade because next one up, should the Clips have gotten more for Blake Griffin? Yeah, nah. Yeah, fucking oath. I mean, come on, like, Clips, you've got to get, like, I don't care that they're not that good, but you've got to get one of Stanley Johnson, Henry Ellenson, or Luke Kennard in there as well, right? Like, you have to have Blake Griffin turn into two young guys. That's Tobias Harris, one of your recent lottery picks to go with that draft pick, and Avery Bradley, which is an expiring contract. It's $8.8 million expiring contract, and you can also just flip Avery Bradley off to whatever contender needs his perceived excellent defense. So I think Detroit killed them with this trade, and the Clips definitely should have gotten, like, at least one other thing. And you know what? In giving up Willie Reed and Bryce Johnson, like, it's the only other two fucking, like, you know, half, you know, picks that fucking Doc Rivers has made in, like, the last 20 fucking years. So, unbelievable. So, I reckon they should have gotten more. It's a bit tough. You got to wonder how much they shopped him around, because this doesn't seem like it's the best deal. All right, to the Clip side. Will they blow it all up now and trade DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams? Yeah, nah, yeah, they got to do it, man. But, like, what's the plan? Like, are you clearing everything for cap space for LeBron next year? Or Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, etc. in 2019? Like, do you think that LeBron's going to come to, like, an empty team that's, like, Lou will, like, unless you don't trade DJ and Lou, and, like, LeBron, like, rolls in as, like, hey, so, okay, so I'm playing with Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan and Sam Decker and, like, Montrezl Harrell? No, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. Or you trade DJ and Lou and LeBron can just craft his own team with all of Steve Ballmer's money. That's not bad. I get that, but still. So this gets us to the next year. Nah, is the next move trading DJ and Avery to the Cavs for the Brooklyn pick, their own pick, and maybe something else? Yeah, nah, yeah, maybe fucking A. Let me get that one. Oh, shit. That'd be fucking great for the Cavs. And like, if the Cavs give up the Brooklyn pick, their own pick, and, you know, whatever the salary is going to, like, needed to make that happen, like, what, Fry, Tristan Thompson, whatever. If you get DJ and Avery on the Cavs, ooh, Jesus. And if the Clips can turn those into, like, just more assets, that's what they need. Like, it certainly seems like this entire thing was kind of like getting more assets for another trade. Maybe packaging like DJ, Avery, something else, and sending that elsewhere. Pretty interesting, right? So, I don't know. Were there any more questions that we've got about like this trade? Like, don't you just kind of wonder, like, what the fuck are the Clippers doing? That seems like the biggest thing. And like, if they're going to tank, clear it out. DJ and Lou are gone. We try to get as much back for them. And to be fair, if they pick up Lou Williams, who they traded to Houston for a draft pick, and if they then trade him again for another draft pick, you turn Lou Williams twice into draft picks, which is pretty smart. Even though they sent one of them out in that stupid fucking Gallinari trade. So you got to trade like DJ, Lou, Gallo, just a whole bunch of shit. You got to blow it all up, or you think that LeBron's coming. It's a bizarre fucking situation. I love it. I just love the chaos. It's just weird. But so here's this for the Clippers as well. The Clippers could have lost Blake Griffin and Chris Paul for nothing last summer, right? They were both free agents. They could have just walked. Instead, the Clips traded Blake and Paul for a mess of players and picks and like gives them options. So it's not the most clippering of all time because they have actually turned these two assets into a bunch more assets. But do you trust them to do good shit with it? I don't know. Anyway, let's get to look at me, the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
The flip side of all this is that I think Blake will do fucking great in Detroit as long as he stays healthy. And that's the thing you've got to say about Blake Griffin. That should be his name, Blake Griffin, as long as he stays healthy. It's just how it goes. It's rough. He and DeAndre could do some fun-ass shit on offense as long as they got some three-point shooters around them. But as I mentioned, this is the first time that Detroit will be the first fucking, like, it'll be the first time they've been fun to watch since 2009 when they traded for AI and they had their amazing run of six straight Eastern Conference Finals. You've made yourselves relevant. That's pretty good. Defensively, this might be a bit sus. I don't know, but fucking hell, man. Detroit, you put yourselves back on the map a little bit and you're going to sell some jerseys now. So best of luck to you. All right, man. All right, so we can probably talk about some more Blake and Detroit stuff tomorrow. We're going to smash through this episode right now. This is our first reactions. I think we've done it. I think Detroit won. I think LA could have gotten a little bit more. It's just how it goes. All right. Let's do it. It's Tuesday. Let's get to our Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot Random Amazing Dude going off of the week Hall of Fame. And let's go to the prototype Blake Griffin. The big guy with shooting touch. Tom Chambers. Suns legend. He's our random dude who went bananas one time 28 years ago in 1990. Big Tommy Boy had 60 fucking points and against my Seattle Supersonics. 60! Can you believe it? He goes 22 of 32 from the field, 16 of 18 from the free throw line, throws in 4 assists. What are you doing, Tom? You could have had 70 if you didn't pass. Fuck, mate. What are you doing? Anyway, good job, Tom Chambers. He's now hanging out on like the Phoenix Suns local broadcasts. Getting all that Arizona sun. Looking great, mate. Anyway, that is a random dude going off like he's Shane the Hammer Heel. Way to smash Tommy Chambers. You are our Shane the Hammer Heel Shoot Your Shot Random Amazing Dude going off of the week Hall of Famer for this week. All right, let's get to the Australian Player Watch straight after, I reckon, these messages.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, Brew, and you're listening to NBA Stream, eh? Cheer, bro.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch, Ben Simmons in the loss to the Bucks last night. As mentioned, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. Only 2 turnovers, though. So Big Simmo backed up the big game against the Thunder the other night. They've No with Joel Embiid. He couldn't quite get him over the line. He's a rookie. Come on. 16-6-5. Still fucking good. Patty Mills did not play last night. Jingling Joe Ingles did not either. But how about fucking Dele? They beat Simmer on the Sixers, did the Bucks in 26 minutes because Eric Bledsoe was out. Dele scored all 10 of his points in the fourth quarter, leading the Bucks to the win. He also added 3 assists, 2 steals, and a rebound, and was a team leading. Plus 17 for the game. How is that? No turnovers. Just holding them, just fucking leading the team to the win. It's classic Dele, I'll tell you. How about Thon McCur? The win in the Bucks Sixers game. He had 18 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks, and was also plus 14 for the game. Look, this is what happens when you fire Jason Kidd and his anti-Strayan bias, mate. Fucking Dele and Thon song. Thon. Just out there smashing. Nice one. Aaron Baines against the Nugs last night. 6 points on 10 shots in 17 minutes. Adds 3 rebounds, a block, 2 turnovers, and probably about 80 different moving screens where some poor bugger felt like he ran into a cement truck. Nice. Andrew Bogut, no team yet. Jeez, like, watching the Bucks though last night, it's like, gee, they could fucking use Bogut right about now. They just need like one other big dude just to fucking snag some rebounds and play a bit of, rim protecting defense. And that's what Bogey's good for. Let's get him in there. How about a daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Yes, but he's practicing. So this is good. Get him back. Come on, Jazz. And the final part of Australian Player Watch, Kyrie. How did he go last night? Well, as mentioned earlier, he was our, that's a knife. 27 points, 6 assists, amazing layups, kept the fucking game alive for the Celtics and led him to a win. Not bad. So, what do we do on Tuesdays as well? We have the Mango Matthew check-in. So let's do it. He's hanging out. The Greensboro Swarm is our South Sudanese Australian Mangok Matthew. Had 3 games last week. They played in the old G League. He had a loss to the Magic. 15 minutes. He had 5 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist and a block. Yeah, not great. Lost to the main Red Claws though. 18 minutes, 4 points, 5 rebounds and a steal. Yeah, not that great either. But in a win over the Charge just the other day, how's this? 23 minutes, 14 points, 11 rebounds. That's a big old double-double for Mango. 1 assist, 2 steals and a block. Just out there fucking filling it up in Greensboro. Good job, Mango. On you, mate. On you. All right. Let's get to the game previews and the Patty Mills inspiration board after one more message. It's going to be from Dele.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dele over here. That's right. Matty Dele Vanova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Oh, you better believe you are. It's NBA Straya. We've got the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. Nothing has changed since yesterday after Patty let everybody know about how he his reading competition for the Game Day Baller Game Day book series came over and got to hang with him courtside, check out a game and stuff, which was amazing. So, not bad. Good job, Patty. All right, let's get to the game previews. Game previews. For tonight, Tuesday, Jan 30. Let's do it. Thunder at Wiz. Oh, mate. Rusty going into Washington, taking on maybe John Wall. He said out last game, but maybe just Brad Beal. This is the old Scotty Brooks Bowl. Oh, that's right. Scotty Brooks shit the bed when he was the Thunder coach. Wizards aren't much better. Don't know what to tell you. Give me the Thunder in this one. I reckon they can keep it rolling, mate. I reckon they can. They've won 8 straight. Might make it 9. What do you reckon? Give me the Thunder. Just the Wizards just weirdly up and down. So they could win. Like, I would not be in the least surprised. But let's just see the Thunder go. This is Mello rolling back into Maryland, basically. Not bad. Wolves at Raptors. Man, after the fucking Hawks lost, the Wolves, they might lose back-to-back games here. No problems. The Raps will smash them, I reckon. Jesus. Absolute shit show, that one. Nets at Knicks. Borough rivalry, baby! Zinger out there talking shit already. He's like, man, we just play much better against under 500 teams. Not realizing that the Knicks are 6 games under 500. Hey there, Zinger. That's a pretty good one from the
Extreme Zinger Meal.
The Extreme Zinger Meal. Not bad. All right. Cavs at Pistons. Oh, yeah. I reckon the Knicks win that. Sorry, Nets. Cavs at Pistons. Pistons, they're going to have like six dudes that can play in this game. Cavs win. LeBron, he's sitting there going, wait, I don't have to fucking like guard or have anyone guard me. I'm going to have like 47. Awesome. Cavs win. Magic at Rockets. Oh, it's a 1995 NBA final rematch. How good's that? Rockets kill them. Magic is shit. How are the Magic not in the fucking Blake Griffin sweepstakes? They've got so many more fucking young dudes and assets than the fucking Detroit Pistons. Oh my god. I'm actually going to come up with three other fucking trades that I like better than Blake to Detroit for tomorrow's episode. So check that out. Rockets win that one. Kings at Pelicans. Ah, oh, this was going to be a boogie bowl. Now I'm sad. Yeah, Pelicans still win because the Kings are fucking horrible and tanking like hardcore. Nugs at Spurs. Nugs on a back-to-back, so Spurs will win that one, no problems. Warriors at Jazz. Ooh, tasty. Down under Durant versus the coward Kevin Durant. Get him, Jingling Joe. Also got Steph versus Rubio. This should be a fun one. Rudy Gobert's out there. He's about a fucking foot and a half taller than Draymond. Give me the Jazz at home. I think they'll punk him. And then finally, oh, the no Blake Clips. How sad. First time they've been without Blake for a million years. Blazers at Clippers. Blazers will be like, ah, sick. Hey, DeAndre, do you want to put on our jersey? What do you reckon, mate? Blazers win. And you know what? That's it. That's it for today. What a fucking corker of an episode. The Blake Griffin trade episode. I love it. As mentioned, we're back tomorrow. We'll have three or five. I've got a couple of good ones up the old sleeve of trades I would have preferred to see rather than Detroit. And we'll have more fallout as more details come to light about the Blake Griffin to Detroit trade. I'll have my thoughts sorted out a little bit more on it. But at the same time, I still think Detroit win. LA could have gotten a little bit more. And they kind of dogged him. And you don't dog your mates. What are you doing, mate? What are you doing? All right, that's NBA Australia for today. We're back tomorrow. More ridiculousness. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Get involved in the old NBA Australia. Never forget. We had a Luke Longley one go up yesterday. That was a fucking corker. He had a great game. 8 assists, career high. Not bad. Go check it out on NBA Australia on Facebook. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. Chuck us a nice rating and review while you're at it, would you? Come on. And thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, bro. Go check out House Hats. They are the best band in Australia. They are debuting their new single, Stop, this week on Triple J Home and Hose. You're going to fucking love it. I've heard it. It's amazing. Extra special thanks to the legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. Go on, mate. Give them a smash. Great tunes. And that's it, man. What a fun-ass day. That was such a great NBA night. Great doing it with you today with the old NBA Australia. Stick around for Joe Ingles, HR manager, and NBA Australia will catch us tomorrow. Later, Hosen. G'day. It's Joe Ingles here for my weekly pop-in to the NBA Australia office in between drinking coffees, dunking balls and sinking threes to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. Because you probably didn't know this, but I didn't go to uni just to play basketball. I also majored in human resources. So I am the most qualified here to help out with any questions you might have on pretty much any other topic. Because after all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. And it works. Have you been watching me lately? I've got my own human resources back on track and I'm shooting 50% from three over the last five games. Crushing those KPIs. But anyway, just because I'm out there crushing doesn't mean I'm derelict in my duties as NBA Australia HR manager. No siree, Bob. Just means I work twice as hard. So let's get to today's question. It comes from Blake in Detroit. Dear Mr. Ingles. Oh, that's very nice. Thank you, Blake. My recent employment status has changed, and it's not in a direction I had hoped for. I've been transferred to an office that's substantially different to the one I was in, and I'm worried about how I will react to the change. See, I was employed in Los Angeles for a very long time, but now my role means I have to move to Detroit. Oh, geez. Sounds a bit rough there, Blake. All right. Anyway, on we go. This means I have to leave behind my fun hobbies and really burgeoning side career as a comedian and actor. Nice one. Good on you. As well as my friends and co-workers who I've been through a lot together with. Oh, and there's also my girlfriend who I'm now afraid will dump me now that I don't live in LA and am in GD Detroit. Rough one. So,
What should I do? Should I apply myself 400% to my new employers and city and make the best of it? Or should I take out my frustrations on my old employers, who just recently signed me to a new employment contract and did so with an abundance of pomp and circumstance, jeez, including a choir singing as they raise my employee number to the roof of their building? Jesus, Blake, that's pretty good. And leak all the information I know about my old boss and the idiot son he's priming to take over when he leaves. Anyway, I am really hurt and lost at the moment, so I could use some workplace advice. Regards, Blake, Detroit. Oh, jeez, Blake, that's a rough one, I'll tell you. So first of all, I think I know the organization you're talking about. I was all set to take a job with them as well. After I flew my wife over from Australia, they quickly reneged on the job offer and I was completely left up shit creek without a paddle. So I can understand your frustration. Luckily, I hooked on with the Jazz and I'm the happiest man going. So, still, condolences for being moved. One of the necessary parts of HR is transferring people to different roles in organizational reshuffles or department consolidations. And it's tough to move to a new city and leave your girlfriend, mates, and fellow employees behind. Now, one thing I'd say is that if your girlfriend wants to break up with you just because you're going long distance, I'd say then it was always meant to be. You should be with someone who loves you for you and will do anything to keep you guys together, including long distance. All right, as we go. One way of dealing with a transfer is to make friends with new colleagues as soon as possible. I suggest asking your new management supervisors about team building exercises to build up trust and camaraderie. They can be immensely rewarding. Why? Just last week, I had to give my junior HR manager, Cheryl, a break from filling in her hourly KPIs, so we did some trust falls. Unfortunately, on the third one, Cheryl was distracted by a ringing phone, and I nearly knocked myself out on my new Swivelmaster 2000 office chair. But the concept remains solid. So look, the best advice I can give is to make the most of your new surroundings. New starts offer up plenty of new avenues for growth and new horizons can open up with new people and new fellow employees. Make sure you have clear lines of communication with management so you can iron out any issues before they get to the memo stage. And two extra things. Get a plant for your new office. Everyone loves plants and you can be plant guy. And also, bake some cookies or cupcakes. Or if you're in a bit of a rush, you can buy them for the whole organization to introduce yourself and make everyone feel comfortable talking to you and introducing yourself to them. After all, as we say in HR, a properly filled employee cake baking request can easily be the start of a new office tradition. So, once you've properly managed and focused your human resources in this new workplace environment, you'll be on track to organizational success in no time. And okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Engels, and this has been the H&R Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.